Another year is indeed dawning. Welcome to the word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. This is for January 9th. Christmas is over and the new year has come, and we begin a third year in this pandemic as our own state has 40% ICU beds filled with COVID patients. I personally know 6 people who have had breakthrough infections. So remember to pray, please. Pray for all, especially medical personnel. We have an affirmation of our faith, this one from 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. The reading of God's word for today is from the book of Revelation in the 1st chapter, the 1st 8 verses. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the 7 churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the 7 spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Have you read any news headlines this week? Here are a few. What's ahead for the auto industry in 2022? From real estate to inflation, here's what to expect from the economy in 2022. These 10 races could determine control of the Senate in 2022. Always notice the word could, as in could or could not. These were the most read stories by last Monday at noon. Betty White. Betty White never went out of style. Here's why. Climate in crisis. How climate change primed Colorado for a rare December wildfire. Sleep in Hong Kong is hard to come by. Many are turning to sleeping bus tours. Who knew? Coronavirus. Omicron symptoms. What we know about illness caused by the new variant. The month of January is named for the Roman god Janus, who was said to have 2 faces. With one face he looked into the past, and with the other face he gazed into the future. And that is often what we do in the month named for Janus. We look back and we look forward. People generally seem to want to know about the future, but it isn't just in January. There's a whole area of literature ever since H.G. Wells, the author, wrote, we have a whole body of literature called science fiction, tales and imagery of what our future might hold. There have been plenty of television programs and film, like Twilight Zone, programs about a future with alien worlds and alien people. One of my grandson's favorite play storylines is dealing with aliens. He and I usually have to carry some sort of blaster weapon. Apparently, the aliens are hostile and are up to no good. He doesn't explain a lot of the storyline to me. He just tells me to use my blaster. But my grandson's imaginary storyline does give me pause. Is this the future? Do we really want to know if this might be the future with some alien life form? If that is the future, I don't want to know it. But we don't have to make the future complicated. What if my younger self saw me living in a small town like this most of his life? He would be horrified and depressed. What if any of us had known when the pandemic started in 2020 that the pandemic would not be over in 2021? Might we have sunk into depression? Or what of the 400,000 Americans who died of COVID in 2021? Would they have wanted to know the future when the pandemic began the year before? What about the 1,000 families in Boulder County, Colorado, who just lost their homes to wildfires? Would they have wanted to know the future? Or the people of Maysville, Kentucky, what dread they would have lived with if they knew that someday their town would be wiped out by a tornado? Or would they have even believed it? So maybe we're not as interested in the future as we thought we were. Or maybe we want to know only the good parts of our futures. Comedian David Letterman once waggishly suggested that a good high school graduation motto would be, "Let's all pretend we have bright futures." I refer you to my previous confession about my younger self, seeing me here in this town for 35 years. Most American Christians tend to see the area of prophecy as being about the future. We will get to the book of Revelation in a moment. I've been saying for 35 years that Bible prophecy is not so much about the future, but a very keen insight into the present. Let's take the prophet Elijah as an easy example. You recall that Elijah was fighting against King Ahab and his wife Jezebel. Fighting's not the best word, but it will do. See 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19. Elijah just won a great victory on Mount Carmel, but it made the king and Jezebel seek to kill Elijah. Elijah flees and seeks the Lord and says, "The people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and slain your prophets with the sword, and I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." So, what does the Almighty God tell Elijah about what is going to happen? Almost nothing. Tells him almost nothing about what's going to happen. The Almighty sent Elijah on one more errand. Go to Damascus, anoint Hazael to be king of Syria, and Jehu anoint to be king of Israel, and Elisha anoint to be prophet in your place. To me, the really good news for Elijah was that it looked like Elijah would get to retire. The word of the Lord, and anoint Elisha to take your place. And then the Lord says, "Things are not as bad as you say, Elijah. There happen to be 7,000 faithful people still in Israel." Elijah had said the people had forsaken God, but there were still 7,000 people then present, probably heads of households who were still faithful to the God of Israel. So, was that the future? Sort of. But the Lord God told the prophet Elijah about the immediate present. Elijah was only told what he, Elijah, had to do. Elijah had to anoint three people. Elijah was not tasked with putting the new kings on the thrones. That was someone else's job. Elijah is not told how it's going to happen. Remember the priest Zechariah, who was even surprised that a messenger of God showed up in God's own temple, and then when told his prayers are answered, said something like, I don't see how this can all happen. Even when a priest of Israel is told the future by God's own messenger, Zechariah just wasn't sure it could happen. So does the Bible tell us about the future? My answer, sort of. And we think we would like to know what's going to happen in the future? In college, I usually prayed before final exam week that Jesus would return before final exams. Then I wouldn't have to study so hard and it would all be over. And of course, you know, some Christians in America calling themselves prophets have made a living claiming that the end is near. Come to find out, it was their end, not the end of the world. They died. The world God created is still here, not a new heaven and a new earth. So let's look at the book of Revelation, chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show what must soon take place. Blessed is he who reads aloud the words of the prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written therein. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, everyone who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come. What is to come? It says that Jesus' return is yet to come. When is it to come? Well, the first verse says, what must soon take place? How soon is soon? Is John declaring the beginning of the end? Or the beginning of the end? Or the end of the beginning? And then the end starts. Here's the answer. No one knows. No one knows, not even Jesus. Jesus said so. One commentator states that the statement must be understood in Revelation in accordance with God's perspective on time. And you know what that means. We do ourselves a disservice to consider the word soon or shortly in human terms. We do ourselves a disservice to consider the word in human terms. What is soon to you? What is soon to God? Do you know? Parents, what have we said over and over to our children? Just a minute. Give me a minute. I'll be just a minute. And 5 minutes later, we have not finished. We said 1 minute. We take more than five. How long is a minute to your five-year-old? So does the Bible tell us about the future? Sort of. Luke further reported, then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus said the bigger picture wasn't for the disciples to know. And then Jesus told them what they needed to know at that moment. You will receive the Holy Spirit, stay in Jerusalem, and wait for it. Now, when getting down to specifics, Jesus asked a question. Jesus said to him, if it's my will that this man remain until I come, what's that to you? You follow me. So we can't answer the question, when? At least I'm not going to try and answer the question, when is all this going to happen? And I suggest you save yourself the trouble. The Spirit said to John concerning God's revelation, if the word soon means the seven churches who are addressed in Revelation, then the revelation is for them. But if the Spirit intended, God gave John to show to his servants, we are or claim to be servants of the living God, and therefore we should also look and see. So one question that interpreters of Revelation often don't ask is, the revelation, is the revelation for back then or for now? Or as I usually suggest, the revelation is both for back then and now. The revelation, for all its weirdness, was to lift up John's generations, and it was also intended to lift us up. I've told you about a young man before who years ago told me he'd just lost his job, and I'm sure that my face fell, but the young man immediately said, I'm not worried, I've read the whole Bible, and the good guys win in the end. Amen? The good guys win in the end. But let this be a reminder, the revelation that God gave to show his servants. So the revelation is for the believers, not the general public. The man depicted on the streets with a sandwich board sign saying the end is near, that is not what God gave the book of Revelation for. That sign in our streets is not why God gave us the book of Revelation. The revelation is for you here, not for others out there. As we shall see in some detail in a few minutes, God gave God's people this revelation to lift up God's people, to encourage God's people. So no matter what the future holds, no matter what the future holds, even if it looks like an enormous red dragon, reading from the book of Revelation, an enormous red dragon with seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns on its head, if you see one, you're going to be okay. You might not be physically okay. You might be shaken in your boots. But the book does say the dragon will be tied up with chains and will be locked in an abyss for 1,000 years. The dragon is going to lose. Or maybe in the future you will face another beast. Chapter 13 of Revelation. That has 10 horns and 7 heads. What are you going to do about it? The book tells you in verse 10. Of that same chapter 13. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. Followers of that beast will in the future drink God's fury, it says. And I imagine that drinking here is a poetic image. I don't know of any other drinking of God's fury in the Bible. And what are we going to do about it? Well, the book says, this calls for patient endurance on part of God's people who keep his commands and remain faithful to Jesus. I want to mention one more thing, because we Americans have become very fond of fighting. Yes, we are. Everywhere I read, we are fighting. The headlines will say, this candidate is in for a real fight. No, he or she is not in for a fight. I don't even think the candidates will strike each other at all, let alone fight. They're going to have a contest that's decided by votes, not by fisticuffs. I read once there was a real battle in the Senate. Really? Were there tanks and aircraft or just ground troops? Oh, you were being poetic. There will be no need for a medical team, for any casualties that might occur in this so-called battle. The younger generation is very fond of the word crush. Our team crushed our opponents last night. They did? Was there a pileup on the gym floor? The scoreboard said you won by 6 points. I read this last Monday. An Atlanta sports writer ripped Indianapolis. He got roasted. I'm not even sure what that means, but it sounds horrible. I didn't think we burned people at the stake anymore, and this man was roasted. And I didn't read about any hospital admissions from the ripping and roasting following this brouhaha. Now, I love that word, brouhaha, and in a brouhaha, no one gets hurt. Why do I mention all these? Because American Christians will talk about themselves as being in a fight or a battle, and they are not. As I read the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, the armor is for us to take our stand. It sounds like the armor is more for defense, and yes, a sword is also a defensive weapon. So if we keep that in mind, when we look at the book of Revelation, let's notice chapter 20. Satan shall gather them, the nations, for battle. In number they are like the sand on the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth, surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. If we are doing what we were told in chapters 13 and 14 of Revelation to keep Jesus with patient endurance, it doesn't look like we have to do any fighting ourselves. In chapter 19, it states there will be a rider on a white horse from heaven with an army from heaven, and adds, the rest were killed and the sword coming out of the mouth of the rider on the horse, and that sword was to strike down the nations. And that is the battle at Armageddon as I read it. Revelation chapter 16. I still don't see believers described as fighting. It doesn't even show or describe believers with weapons in their hands. I can be corrected if someone will point me in the right direction in the Bible, but it does appear that our faithful endurance is a key point in Revelation. Our faithful endurance is a key point in Revelation for our future. Just for contrast, the Jewish community that lived out at the Dead Sea in Jesus' time, we call them the Essenes. We mostly believe that this community created and kept the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Essenes did believe that there would be a real battle between good and evil, and that they, the Essenes, would be the soldiers of God's army fighting evil. They were at the Dead Sea for the purpose of preparing themselves for battle with evil, and they were purifying themselves. Now, you might still be wondering what the future holds for American churches. If there's a vision or a dream from the Lord on the future of American churches in this century, I don't know if anyone has spoken it, but next time we can talk about what we know and what we have seen in the last year and ask if we may be given discernment and insight as to what we will be called to do, even as we have read today in Revelation, keep to Jesus with patient endurance. You might be a little surprised to notice that you've already sung about the future in the last 4 weeks. When you sang, God rest you merry gentlemen, or these days we might call ourselves gentle folk to be more inclusive, we sang, God rest you merry, don't be dismayed. Remember, Christ our Savior was born. Christmas Day, Jesus was born to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Remember the fourth verse? Fear not then, said the angel. Let nothing you affright. I love that word. This day is born a Savior of a pure virgin bright, to free all those who trust in him from Satan's power and might. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. The revelation of God, which God gave for his people. It's not for everyone. Just God's people. To encourage them about the future. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. Next time we will ask, do we know what is ahead for Jesus' American churches? Amen.